You're listening to the Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The currency.news. It pays to be curious.
The average cost of a data breach is now $4.49 million. For many businesses, it can be the difference between success and failure. And yet, despite the high cost of cyber breaches, less than one in three Irish organisations have implemented robust cyber resilience across their organisation. That's according to PwC's 2025 Digital Trusts Insight Survey, the longest running and largest annual survey on cybersecurity trends. The study surveyed more than 4,000 businesses and tech executives across 71 countries, including Ireland. Now, to discuss its findings and the wider issue of cybersecurity, I'm joined on this episode of The Tech Agenda by Len McAuliffe, cybersecurity partner with PwC Ireland. Len, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
Just on a high level, Len, the survey reveals what strikes me as a glaring disconnect. On one hand, Irish companies say they're planning to prioritise cyber risk mitigation over the next 12 months. So they want to really increase what they're doing in this area. On the other hand, the amount of money they're spending, the planned investment, is well below international peers. So what's going on?
Yeah, I think from the survey, it said 28% of Irish organisations have implemented, and that's the kind of past, robust cyber resilience actions. And cyber resilience has come up mainly because of NIS2, a new regulation, and DORA, which is the Digital Operation Resilience Act. So these are driving that focus on resilience. Now, I think in the survey it's saying that so far only 28% have implemented resilient actions across their organisations, and that's very low. And you're right to call that out. I think though the survey is also saying that budgets will increase, and cyber, because still the good news is it's number one in the risk register still. So you will see investment, especially in 2025, into the areas of cyber resilience, which is a lot got to do with what is cyber resilience. It's such a vague term.
That's what I was going to ask you. You know, it can be a broad church resilience. Am I under attack? What's going on? Am I being hacked, phishing, whatever else? But resilience is a broad term. You might just, and you framed it within that sort of regulatory piece, but you might just talk to the broader issue of cyber resilience.
Yeah, and it's important to define, because a lot of people, even in the industry, don't define it properly. And it's really your organization's ability to kind of prevent, withstand, and recover from a cyber attack or a cyber incident. And people say, okay, well, what do you mean by that? You know, preparing or preventing is where you're trying to simulate what would a hacker do. You're hardening, securing your systems. You're patching your systems. You're running vulnerability scans to see, are there weaknesses in your network? So you're preparing for it, so and trying to prevent it so it doesn't happen. But then the inevitable will happen in our business. You know, there's new vulnerabilities come out all the time in code and in software. They call them zero-day attacks, you know what I mean? So, and you will get an incident. So then it's your ability to respond and withstand that. And what do I mean by that? So just say someone, which is the typical type of attack, an email comes in, you click on it, it takes over your system, and then you try to move laterally across a network. You're looking for the juicy data, and then you're trying to extract that data onto a server, onto the internet, and then you can hold people to ransom, or you leak it or use the data. And that's how the incident, but your ability to detect that, and then we say, withstand it? Can I segregate my network and contain it into that network segment? That's that other piece. And the last piece of being resilient is recovering from that. Okay, now we've contained it. How do we recover? So that incident response, your crisis management plan, getting systems back up, restored and recovered, and getting your business operating effectively again. That's the real resilience then.
Yeah, you're advising companies on this all the time and working with them. And there is this notion in one's mind's eye when you talk about cybersecurity and digital risk and threats, that we go down this high tech space and we have this image in our heads of, you know, banks of computers and, you know, the tech multinationals and high potential tech startups. It goes way beyond that to most businesses, though, I think. And we sometimes struggle to get that into people's minds.
Yeah, it's a very good point, right? You know, you could focus on the tech, and we could speak about the tech all day long, right? But the way I look at it in the way we kind of look at it from our perspective and our team and how we approach our clients is there's a people, process and technology. And if you think a wraparound of governance around that. And what I mean by that, if we're starting off with an organization, technology you will look at, right? But we look at someone's cybersecurity capabilities. So across the domains of security, whether it's network security, identity and access management, whether it's your governance and your strategy and your policies, we look at all the capabilities and we look across people, process and technology in that. Like I'll give you an example. You could have a great SOC, a security operations center, running the latest, we say Microsoft SIEM, Sentinel, taking in all the logs, monitoring everything. But then your processes could be poor in how you respond to that. And you may not have enough people, skilled people, to enact and act on those incidents. So that.
So all the data's there, you just...
Yeah, the tech is there, but the process and the people mightn't be good and how you govern around that. So you're right, it's not all about the tech, it's about the governance, people, processes and technology.
In terms of the prioritisation piece, Len, and being prepared, obviously people are coming up to the year end, people are looking at their budgets for next year. The PwC survey says, you know, we're going... companies by and large are going to put more money aside. How much is too much? What do companies need to be doing? As I said at the start, you know, the average cost of a data breach is now 4.5-5 million. It could be higher. We don't know. A lot of these things never get reported. A lot of it goes on behind closed doors. How big a threat is it for companies and how can they be prepared?
Yeah, like it's a very good question when you say how much budget do you need, right? And sometimes we even get Len, they say, Len, how big should my security team, how big should the budget be? And it's a very, I wouldn't say simple approach, but there's a simple way to do it. Every organization is different and you're starting with what are the critical assets that I'm trying to protect? Right. And we have a very pragmatic approach. We say, listen, you could spend millions protecting the wrong things. So we'll say, there's your critical assets. OK, now that's what we need to protect. What are the threats to those assets? Right. And we look at different threat scenarios. Is phishing? Is it ransomware? Is it that you have got intellectual property like a pharma organization that's what they're really after? So do we segregate that out? Or is it ransomware? Generally, if you got your systems taken down, availability is your biggest issue. So we look at the threat scenarios that are most likely for that organization. And then what we say, okay, let's focus on those and let's protect your critical assets, not everything. And then what we do is we build in a controls framework that will help mitigate those specific threat scenarios.
So it's
focused.
So it's company focused, company specific, issue specific, as opposed to there's no blank piece of software or blank consultant I can bring in and it will, you're safe from everything.
Yeah, there's no silver bullet here. And a really good consultant or a good CISO in an organization, that is their approach. What are we can't protect everything. It'll cost too much. You know, we look at our critical assets. We look at our critical data, our critical business processes. We'll focus on them. What are the real threats to them? And I mean, putting a bit of effort into figuring out, okay, who are the threat actors? What are the threat scenarios? Okay, now how can we mitigate those specific scenarios? And that's the key focus.
You spoke to threats there, and there was some really interesting data in the Insight survey that you've just released, where they talk about what companies are actually fearing, what they're afraid of at the moment. I think third-party breaches are certainly the number one cyber concern for Irish organisations. At 48% of people are worried about that. Then you have ransomware, cloud-related threats, and they're broadly in line with what we've seen internationally.
Yes, and you know, this has come up 2 years in a row for organisations in Ireland around third-party risk management. And there's a reason for that. DORA new regulations and NIS2 are stipulating more of a focus on your third parties, especially when they're providing critical service to your organisation. The other thing too is that there's been a lot of large-scale cyber attacks exploiting vulnerabilities in third-party software. I don't know if you heard about the MOVIS one, where it's third-party file transfer one that affected thousands of organizations worldwide. So people are getting very wary, not just from regulation, but also with high-profile attacks. And then the problem is that you're so reliant now on the complexity and dependency on third parties, whether it's IT support who have connectivity into your network and they get hacked, and it could be a small third party. Then you could have a marketing firm or an AI firm who are using your data to do really cool marketing and AI stuff, but then they get hacked and they lose your data. And then the last one is the one I kind of mentioned, where you get software from a third party and there's weaknesses in that software, and no fault of your own, because they didn't implement their own security, you know, secure development cycles, that they take advantage of that and you're exposed to that as well. So there's a lot of different angles from third parties that you need to manage the risk on.
You spoke to regulation a couple of times during this podcast, Len, about DORA, NIS2. Are companies prepared for this new regulation? I mean, we are seeing with regulation rising compliance costs due to it, but also cognizant that this needs to be done.
Yes. I mean, it's at the moment, I'll be very honest, and I have a good finger on the pulse in clients around Ireland. DORA is aimed at the financial services industry, and then NIS2 is around critical infrastructure. So a lot of our utilities, gas, water, networks, transport, etc. They are very focused on reg. And funnily enough, it kind of annoys me. I've been doing cyber for over 20 years now, and I've been beating this drum. And it takes a reg to come in to really wake up execs and boards, you know. And now cyber has been up there as one of the top risks, but it really, when I see the budget allocation now, it's okay, we need to comply with this regulation, get this fixed. And that's the same with DORA and NIS2. So there is a lot of focus on it at the moment, definitely. And like where you come in and do the assessment, this is where you are against the regulation and the requirements. There's a lot of remediation programs ongoing now, and DORA is compliance by January. So there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of work to be done, yes.
No conversation in the technology sphere could be complete without a nod to Gen AI. It strikes me as a double-edged sword with regard to cyber. On one hand, it can shore up your systems and the new technologies allow that to happen. On the other side of it, it can expose the vulnerabilities of your system. You know, it can help you protect, but it can also help the people who are trying to undermine your systems also.
Yes, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it, really? I think from the attacker point of view, what we're seeing is that the low entry bar into becoming a hacker now. I mean, I can get Joe Public can now get a Gen AI tool and say, write me malware, write me a virus, and it'll do it. And now we have to protect ourselves against it. You're also seeing a huge increase in deep fakes, where before it used to be a phone call or a spoofed email from the CEO to CFO saying, we are after acquiring this new firm, it's all hush hush, put X million into this bank account and don't tell anyone. That we saw that, and there has been incidents in Ireland of this, but now they can join a video call and impersonate the CEO. Imagine, you know, you're in a Zoom call or a Google.
And you see your boss.
And you see your boss. So it's got very advanced from that attacker point of view. But then from the defense element as well, it's getting easier for using these tools for threat detection, behavioral analytics on your networks, using it to really filter threat intelligence down to what you need. So it's working both ways for offense and defense.
Yeah. We've spoken about investment in cybersecurity and shoring up the systems and the potential threats, but there's another point here. It's about the integrity of your brand and about customers having trust in you and your company.
Yes, and I think it's an important point, because, you know, the survey cited that it was a key differentiator for competitive advantage, especially with Irish respondents viewing cybersecurity as crucial for customer trust and brand integrity and loyalty. I mean, customer trust was up at 57% of our respondents, and brand integrity and loyalty is at 50% for cybersecurity. So I do think, you know, there's an important focus from customers from clients on your cybersecurity, and can you keep their data safe and give that feeling of trust in their brand?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, and it's an issue. It's come up time and time again on your survey, and no doubt it'll come up time and time again in the years ahead. Len McAuliffe, cybersecurity partner with PwC Ireland, thanks very much for joining me here today.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh, powered by PwC, the currency.news. It pays to be curious.